sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. The show you're about to hear today was first recorded in 2009, and here it is. Since the efforts by the New York City CAN organization to get a new investigation into the events of 9/11 on the ballot this November in New York City have been blocked by a judge's ruling, I thought I'd do a show on why we need a new investigation by taking a look at the original 9/11 commissioners themselves. I think you'll find it provocative. Much of the information I'm about to share with you comes from Webster Tarpley's book written in 2007 called 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in USA. After 9/11, President Bush took the unusual step of asking House and Senate leaders to limit the inquiry to the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, whose procedures are generally secret. Vice President Cheney had expressed the concern that a review of what happened on September 11th would take resources and personnel away from the efforts in the war on terrorism. Senator Daschle said he agreed with the demand by Bush and Cheney to limit the scope and overall review of what happened. Of course, Senator Daschle was also the recipient of an anthrax letter in October of 2001, and according to Webster Tarpley, anthrax cannot be synthesized by a ragtag band in a distant cave. Weaponized anthrax can only be obtained at the U.S. Army's Biological Weapons Facility at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and at a very few other centers of the same type controlled by other governments. Congress conducted two inquiries, first by the Subcommittee on Terrorism and Homeland Security of the House Intelligence Committee. Most of its work remained cloaked under a veil of secrecy. The report from this merely attempted to identify shortcomings in U.S. intelligence and to offer helpful hints about how they might be remedied. The second inquiry was conducted by a joint House and Senate inquiry into intelligence community activities before and after, but not during, the attacks of September 11, 2001. Their report was published December of 2002 with 28 pages absolutely blank, redacted at the insistence of the Bush administration. The general approach of this report was that there had been an intelligence failure and that there ought to be measures to avoid more intelligence failures. Nothing more was included in the report. Unsatisfied with these two congressional inquiries, the 9/11 victims' family members forced the 9/11 Commission into existence by relentlessly lobbying Congress. The House finally voted for the commission in July of 2002, and the Senate followed suit in November of 2002. President Bush named Henry Kissinger as chairman of the commission. In addition to Bush not wanting an investigation into 9/11 from the beginning, here's what David Ray Griffin has to say in his book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, about the Kissinger appointment. A second obstacle to having a commission that might discover the truth about 9/11 was the president's appointment of Henry Kissinger to be its chairman. This appointment introduced widespread incredulity, with the New York Times saying that it is tempting to wonder if the choice of Mr. Kissinger is not a clever maneuver by the White House to contain an investigation it long opposed. Skepticism about Kissinger's capacity to run an independent investigation was based in part on evidence that he was receiving consulting fees not only from corporations with heavy investments in Saudi Arabia, but also from Unocal, the oil company that wanted to build a pipeline through Afghanistan, if only the Taliban could be replaced by a government that would provide the needed stability. When there were cries that Kissinger needed to reveal his business clients, the president said that this would not be necessary. The Congressional Research Service declared, however, that Kissinger had to reveal his clients, but Kissinger resigned rather than do so. So that's a brief history of how 9/11 has been investigated and how the 9/11 Commission was established. Now we'll look at and hear some of the individual commissioners. Let's start with 9/11 Commission Chairman Thomas Keene. Here's what Webster Tarpley has to say about him. The blue blood former New Jersey Governor Thomas Keene, currently president of Drew University, was on the board of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the National Council of Prince Philip's and Prince Bernhard's World Wildlife Fund. He has also been on the board of the Amerada Hess Corporation, which has been engaged in a joint venture with Delta Oil of Saudi Arabia. Delta Oil is owned by the Bin Mahfouz and Al Amoudi families of Saudi Arabia, who have been charged at various times with helping to fund Al-Qaeda. For example, in the $1 trillion lawsuit brought by 9/11 victims' families against Saudi Arabian interests. Here's a clip from the movie Loose Change Final Cut that includes some comments by Thomas Keane.
Lieutenant General Mahmoud Ahmed, the director of the Pakistani Inter-Services Intelligence Agency, the ISI, was reported to have wired $100,000 to Muhammad Atta in August 2001. This transfer was facilitated by Saeed Sheikh, the man who allegedly kidnapped and murdered Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl, who is investigating the ties between the ISI and Islamic militants.
And the Pakistanis, of course, if you know your history, have only been a couple of degrees of separation away from the so-called Al-Qaeda hijackers.
The ISI has had a long-standing relationship with the Central Intelligence Agency, dating back to the 1980s with the establishment of the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, which would evolve into Al-Qaeda.
I focus in on the wire transfer that General Mahmoud Ahmed wired to Muhammad Atta right before 9/11. That's pretty crucial because General Mahmoud Ahmed was actually meeting with key Washington, D.C. insiders, Senator Bob Graham, Porter Goss, the future director of CIA, on the morning of 9/11. And he has a relationship not only with the CIA, but with Dick Armitage at State Department, Mark Grossman at State Department.
Are you aware of the reports at the time that ISI chief was in Washington on September 11 and on September 10th, $100,000 was wired from Pakistan to these groups here in this area? And why he was here, was meeting with you or anybody in the administration?
I have not seen that report, and he was certainly not meeting with me. Yes?
In the White House transcript of this exchange, which is delivered to the press, the information about the ISI is censored. Bob Graham and Porter Goss will later co-head a joint inquiry which publicly claims that the Bush administration received absolutely no intelligence that could have prevented the attacks. The meeting begins at 8 a.m. over breakfast at the Capitol building and lasts through Flight 175's impact with the South Tower. During his visit, which began on September 4th, Ahmed would also meet with the present CIA director, George Tenet. A month later, after reports of the transfer between himself and Atta, Mahmoud Ahmed retires from the ISI. The 9/11 Commission report will later conclude that they saw no evidence that any foreign government or foreign government official supplied any funding. The commission decided not only to omit the information, but to deny it entirely.
On 172, page 172 of your report, the 911 report, you state, quote, the U.S. government has not been able to determine the origin of the money used in the 911 attacks. Ultimately, the question is of little practical significance, end quote. How can you state that the question of who bankrolled the deaths of 3,000 American people on September 11th is, quote, of little practical significance?
Because it costs so little money. That's the awful thing. It costs less than $500,000. That was odd. We were able to find pieces of the $500,000, but it came in very small pieces.
And you said earlier $500,000 to do the 9/11 operation. Well, we know that $100,000 was wired to Muhammad Atta directly from the head of Pakistani ISI.
Well, I'm not aware of that. The Pakistan, I think, is the most dangerous country in the world.
The vice chairman of the 9/11 Commission was Lee Hamilton. And here's what Webster Tarpley has to say about him. Lee Hamilton may be the all-time champion as regards to the sheer number of commissions he has served on. While working on the 9/11 Commission, he moonlighted as president and director of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, a thinly veiled intelligence operation. Hamilton served as congressman from Indiana for 34 years, specializing in the House International Relations Committee, which he chaired. He was also on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and the Select Committee to Investigate Covert Arms Transactions with Iran, better known as the Iran-Contra Committee. At the time, Hamilton had commented that indictment or impeachment of Reagan or Bush would not have been good for the country. Instead, Hamilton supported the indictment of Reagan's National Security Council Director John Poindexter, North, and General Richard Secord, while assiduously protecting both Reagan and Vice President George Bush, the latter of whom had directed every phase of Iran-Contra drug running and gun running. All in all, Hamilton is 0 for 4 in finding serious malfeasance by top oligarchs in any of the investigating committees or commissions he has worked on. This is an interview with 9/11 Commission Vice Chairman Lee Hamilton on the Canadian Broadcasting Company's TV show Loud Studios, and it was done on September 11th, 2009. You'll also hear David Ray Griffin talking about the 9/11 Commission in this audio clip.
By Zogby in May of 2006 found that 42% of Americans now believe the U.S. government and the 9/11 Commission concealed or refused to investigate critical evidence that contradicts the official explanation of the September 11th attacks, saying there's been a cover-up.
The official story about 9/11 is a gigantic conspiracy theory that 19 Arab Muslims, under the guidance of Osama bin Laden, defeated the world's most sophisticated military defense system, and also, in bringing down the World Trade Center, defeated many of the basic laws of physics. So that is the basic conspiracy theory, and what we in the movement are doing is challenging that conspiracy theory.
David Ray Griffin is the leading critic of the official story of 9/11. He's a professor of theology at Claremont School of Theology and the author of several controversial books outlining his beliefs, books that have now sold more than 100,000 copies.
What we need is a genuine investigation. We have more of a criminal investigation if the local 7-Eleven is robbed.
For example, why did George W. Bush wait 441 days before reluctantly setting up the bipartisan commission that investigated what happened that day? And why did he give it so little money to function? Even Lee Hamilton, the co-chair of the 9/11 commission itself, admits to us that the process he headed up was seriously flawed.
So there are all kinds of reasons we thought we were set up to fail. We got started late. We had a very short time frame. Indeed, we had to get it extended. We did not have enough money. They were afraid we were going to hang somebody, that we would point the finger.
Is one of the reasons why these guys aren't getting funded and it's so late is that someone's got something to hide?
Well, a lot of people have things to hide.
Well, who in this case?
Well, look, you can go down the list and probably identify 100 people who made mistakes that day.
What were their errors?
They didn't pay enough attention to terrorism.
When the 9/11 Commission report came out, I discovered that they simply ignored about 99% of all of that evidence, and the other 1% they dealt with by distorting it.
But for every question you leave unanswered, you create an opening for a conspiracy theory, and a good many of them have popped up here.
So what do the so-called conspiracy theorists say? Let's start with their first major target, the collapse of the Twin Towers. Critics say the buildings would not have collapsed as quickly and as easily as they did without explosives involved. Claim two, fire would not cause the buildings of this type to collapse.
Fire, or fire plus externally caused damage, has never in history brought down steel frame high-rise buildings. So it would be quite a miracle if three were brought down on one day in New York.
Claim three, video evidence of controlled demolition explosions, the so-called squibs. And finally, witnesses testify to hearing explosions inside the buildings. So, given all these questions, were the World Trade Centers brought down by explosives?
The charge that dynamite or whatever brought down the World Trade Towers, we of course looked at very carefully. We find no evidence of that. You find all kinds of evidence that it was the airplanes that did it.
While the debate about whether explosives brought down the Twin Towers rages on, the second target of the so-called conspiracy theorists is the mysterious collapse of World Trade Center Building 7.
They conveniently ignore building number 7. No plane hit building 7, and yet it came down in essentially the same way, free fall speed, virtually free fall speed, and straight down.
I don't know specifically if it's in the report. I can't recall that it is.
Right. I don't think it's in the report.
Okay. Then I'll accept your word for that.
There was a decision not to put in the report.
I do not recall that there was a specific discussion in the commission and we rejected the idea of putting Building 7 in. I don't recall that. So I presume the report was written without reference to Building 7 at all, because all of the attention, of course, was on the Trade Tower buildings. Yeah.
But serious attention is now turning to what happened to Building 7. On August 30th, 2006, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, whose reports were used extensively by the 9/11 Commission itself, issued a fact sheet on Building 7 that suddenly lends some credibility to the critics' allegations. They say, quote, NIST is also considering whether hypothetical blast events could have played a role in initiating the collapse. NIST does stress that they have found, quote, no evidence of a blast or controlled demolition event. Still, their interest in blast events relating to Building 7 is hard to ignore.
You've obviously gone through the report with a fine-tooth comb. You're raising a lot of questions. I can do the same thing. All I want from you is evidence. I cannot answer every question with regard to 9/11. I can answer a good many of them, but I can't answer them all.
I guess, Mr. Hamlin, I don't think anyone expects you to have all the answers.
Well, you apparently do, because you've asked me questions of enormous detail from a great variety of sources.
Every day I get another email or another phone call, or I talk to a rescue worker or a person who worked at the Pentagon. You know, you just talk to so many people who were involved who, in one way or another, want a new investigation.
I don't believe for a minute that we got everything right. We wrote a first draft of history. People will be investigating 9/11 for the next 100 years in this country, and they're going to find out some things that we missed.
Now we're going to take a look at a third commissioner named Richard Benveniste. And this is what Webster Tarpley has to say about him. Democratic Commissioner Richard Benveniste was a former federal prosecutor for New York City who gained prominence during the Watergate scandal against the Nixon White House in 1973-74 when he was chief lawyer for the Sam Ervin Senate Watergate Committee. Since then, he has been a fixture on the Democratic side of various investigations. Currently a member of the law firm Mayer, Brown, Roe, and Maugh, Benveniste was previously with Weil, Gottschall, and Mangs, one of the largest bankruptcy firms in the world, which was reportedly in the process of making some $200 million out of the bankruptcy proceedings of Enron, the company looted by Bush's top backer of 2000, Ken Lay. In the past, Benveniste has represented the Iran-Contra drug smuggler and pilot Barry Seal. In this next clip, Mr. Benveniste is confronted by the group We Are Change LA at a book signing. The We Are Change folks greet them in the parking lot, he's with his wife, follow them into the bookstore, and also follow them out later. And here's the clip.
Mr. Benveniste, thanks for coming to chat with us. In light of the fact that you can fool all the people some of the time, or some of the people all the time.
Did you make that up?
No, I've heard that somewhere.
Why don't you include Building 7 in the 9/11 Commission report?
It's in there.
Are you worried about the culpability for the cover-up?
I mean, how are you going to defend yourself against treason?
The truth is coming out, sir. Do you have anything to say?
Would
you
all the evidence?
Do you have anything to say to
the American people?
Do you represent the American people?
Yes, we do.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The American people are waking up.
200 million people don't believe the official story of 9/11. Sir, so much evidence was left out. It was a clear cover-up.
I don't understand why you even need me to make your speeches.
Wait, are you familiar with the report?
You committed
that shows that there was thermite and thermate in the dust.
You committed treason.
Well, sir, give us a statement.
By not including Building 7 in the 9/11
Commission? That I committed treason?
Absolutely.
Yes, we are.
All are. Touch me. Go ahead.
And you will be held accountable, sir.
You
will be held accountable.
You're a traitor.
You're a traitor to this country, sir.
Why didn't you include Building 7 in the 9/11 Commission report?
Sir, the millions of people that are dying in the wars that 9/11 was a pretext for, everything that's followed 9/11 has been made possible by your cover-up. So any statement you'd like to make to that? Or are you just going to scamper away like a cockroach when the lights come on?
People all over the world are waking up. You're part of the cover-up.
You will be held accountable.
It's hard to be too polite with traitors.
What do you think about this new nanothermite peer-reviewed study? It says that that nanothermite was found in the dust in the building.
I've heard that from your colleagues over here, and I think the objective evidence is that the buildings were destroyed by the terrorists, not by the United States government. But thank you for coming.
Well, who put the nanothermite in there?
Is there anybody who would like the book signed?
I would, sir.
Who put the nanothermite in the dust then? His question didn't ask about the U.S. government.
Turn that off. He's here to sign box.
Okay.
I was wondering why they never talked about Building 7 in the commission report.
Oh, we didn't discuss any of the things that had to do with structural engineering in the report. But for objective people who would like to find out, there's a lot of information that's available.
Okay, thank you.
Sir, respectfully, along those lines, there were 118 first responders whose testimony was not included. Can you speak to that briefly?
118?
He's not here to answer questions right now. He's just signing.
Well, we didn't get to hear him speak.
Yeah, he was going to come speak.
I was really looking forward to hearing you speak, sir.
I'm really sorry
for
the change of plans.
Really looking forward to hearing yourself speak, because I've been through several of these already.
Well, so we would like for you to deal with your role in what is essentially a treasonous cover-up under Article 3, Section 3 of our Constitution, sir. And we would like to hear you speak about the role of that.
Right? Constitutional scholars can talk to each other, which is what you do on the internet, and you don't listen to anybody else.
Of course, we're listening to you, sir. Who put the nanothermite in the dust?
Respectfully, sir, if you are going to oblige by our request to not ask him questions right now, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Well, too bad he was involved.
I'm sorry. Actually, I don't know these people, and I actually came to give you the nanothermite report.
Okay.
I was hoping you'd take a look at it.
Thank you.
And I also wanted to just ask you really quickly about Zolical.
I just want to ask him one question.
Have you read my book?
I haven't.
Okay.
Well, but I just wanted to hear you speak so I could decide if I wanted to buy the book or not. You know, $20 is a lot right now for the working people. And
you know what we have in this country?
What do we have?
Libraries.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Maybe I should check it out at a library. But just really quickly, Zelikow's commission, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, he gave everybody on the commission the right to veto anything that goes in the report, so that if you have a body...
It wasn't Phil Zelikow's commission. He was our executive director.
He pretty much called the shots, right?
According to Philip Sheen.
He created...
Sir, I've already asked you to please stop asking questions.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I was clarifying his statement.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying it.
I know you guys have an open mind about this.
I do.
I hope you do, too.
The more you find out, the more we'll all find out. I respect your right, your First Amendment rights.
Thank you.
But
when you
impinge on other people's rights... Then
well, I don't.
You're
I don't think
intrusive.
I'm. I'm trying not to be intrusive, sir.
Okay.
I know that the NIST report was not peer reviewed. It was published, but it wasn't peer reviewed. And we have had 700 architects and engineers take a look at that. Do you guys know about architects and engineers?
I have their pamphlet right here.
Oh, yeah, right here.
Over 700 architects and engineers represented by this group here.
All the evidence. Are you an architect?
No, but
are you an engineer?
I've seen Building 7 come
Neither
down, and
I.
it doesn't take it to
clear, just looking at it, that it was the United States government that brought it.
No, we don't know who did it.
Right.
We don't know who did it.
But as soon as
we just want to know who did it,
we're going to understand all of the conspiracies, right?
Well, as a Jewish man, I have one question I need to ask you, sir. In the commission, you all looked at evidence about Mossad agents who were celebrating in New Jersey, Mr. Benvenista.
Hey guys, come on.
What?
He's leaving. He's not going to answer any more questions.
I understand that you feel like you need to protect them, but...
No, it's not. This is not public space. This is a private space. I'm trying really hard not to throw you out.
Okay.
You're about that close. I'm going to call the cops. Please don't make me do that.
You don't need to call the cops. If you feel like you need
to,
we understand.
Go that way and turn around and go. Please. Please.
Thank you for taking that report, sir. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so he stopped his book signing early because he didn't like the questions, and he got the limousine just pulled up to come take him away.
Sir, why didn't they talk about Building 7?
Give him lots of space, guys.
You want to talk to me? You want to talk to each other?
No, we really want to talk to you. I drove all the way from Simi Valley.
We can always talk to each other. Did you see the evidence about the Mossad agents who were celebrating in New Jersey and who did the arrest on them? Did you miss it, Benita?
Or did you see it and decide not to put in the 9/11 commission report? You know, that's treason.
Mr. Benita, why don't you discuss this with us? Clear it up. We're very open.
What don't we know about you?
More Americans are waking up.
We care about our fellow human beings. Have a nice day!
People are waking up everywhere, not just us, they're everywhere.
Yeah, this part.
Bye!
Wow, that guy's not doing any more book signings.
So as you can see, all three of these commissioners are Washington insiders. In August 2006, a book by Thomas Keene and 9/11 Commission Vice Chair Lee Hamilton, titled Without Precedent, The Inside Story of the 9/11 Commission, was released regarding the September 11 attacks. In the book, Keene and Hamilton write that the 9/11 Commission was so frustrated with repeated misstatements by officials from the Pentagon and Federal Aviation Administration during their investigation that they considered a separate investigation into possible obstruction of justice by Pentagon and FAA officials. I just received the November issue of the Rock Creek Free Press, and I want to read you parts of an article in this edition called The 9/11 Commission Rejects Own Report as Based on Government Lies, written by Gordon Duff. In John Farmer's book, The Ground Truth, The Story Behind America's Defense on 9/11, the author builds an inescapably convincing case that the official version is almost entirely untrue. A member of the 9/11 Commission now tells us that the official version of 9/11 was based on false testimony and documents and is almost entirely untrue. The details of this massive cover-up are carefully outlined in a book by John Farmer, who was the senior counsel for the 9/11 Commission. Farmer, dean of Rutgers University School of Law and former Attorney General of New Jersey, was responsible for drafting the original flawed 9/11 report. Farmer states, "At some level of the government, at some point in time, there was an agreement not to tell the truth about what happened. I was shocked at how different the truth was from the way it was described." Tune in next week to hear about the other commissioners who served on the 9/11 Commission. If you've missed one of my shows and you want to hear it, they're archived on the website ct911truth.org. And if you want to comment on the show, you can email me at cheryl@ct911truth.org. And that's Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.